The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon in New York City, home of Frank Isola.
And I'm Frank Isola in Washington, apparently the former home of Michael Wilbon.
Well, that'll be interesting because I plan to come back there Saturday and live there. So tell me if I need a hotel room, Frank.
You know, there used to be a radio host in New York who would say, me here, you there. We're supposed to be switched somehow.
A little switcheroo. Welcome to PTI. Kornheiser is out for load management, people. So I'm thrilled to be joined by our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
In Michael Wilbon's house. This is actually his house. Studio inside
of
his house.
My house.
Yep.
But let's start, Frank, with the Jaguars firing Urban Meyer after going 2-11 in his first season. Meyer was at the center of all sorts of issues, including one just yesterday, when former kicker Josh Lambeau told the Tampa Bay Times that Meyer kicked him in the leg during warmups before a preseason practice. Frank, what are your thoughts about what we saw from Meyer and how this has now ended?
All right, so from a coaching standpoint, it has to rate, if not the biggest, one of the biggest flops and embarrassment in league history. And the one thing about him kicking the kicker, which is hard to believe we're even saying this, Josh Lambeau, is that that story, Jacksonville knew about that. The fact right. that it came out, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. And they finally said enough is enough, which is what they should have said. It's not the record, which you could have gotten rid of him on the record. It's not even the fact that, you know, you have the number one overall pick who really hasn't shown great improvement. The culture hasn't changed. Maybe it's gotten worse. It's the fact that the head coach has been an embarrassment on and yeah. off the field for this franchise. And, Michael, think about it. You know, in October, when he didn't travel back with the team, that's the beginning of the end. It's your first job. It's your first year on the job. It's a hard job. You have to sink yourself into it. And right away, that's telling you he's not all in. And when you're not all in, you know who picks up on that? The players. He lost the locker room all the way back in October. He never got it back. And one other thing. When you have the owner of the team talk about regaining our trust and respect was essential, we've seen that statement.
And we didn't do it.
But we've seen right. that statement before when they refer to yeah. players. Usually yeah. that's the player. It just didn't work out. We're talking about the coach. Can you imagine San Antonio saying that about Greg Popovich? Pittsburgh having a statement like that about Mike Tomlin? This is the coach of the team who was the biggest problem. Hard to believe.
He was irresponsible.
Yep.
I mean, you know what he was? And you don't think of using this term with a coach personally and professionally. He was just a loser.
Yeah.
He's a loser on all levels. He wasn't accountable. He was irresponsible. He made stupid, lazy hires that turned out, when you look back at them, to just say, oh, my God, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And the owner ultimately has to bear some responsibility,
That's
too,
right.
except in the NFL, owners seem to carry less in terms of responsibility and less accountability than the other sports. Because the arrogance just gets them out of anything. They spin around, they fire somebody, and say, let's do it again. I mean, there's no reason to trust Shaq Khan. There's no reason to trust at all that he'll make the right hire when he has to do this again, oh, now. But Urban Meyer, he's now radioactive, Frank.
I know.
You can't hire him to coach college football. You can't put him on TV. I mean, I guess you could hire him to coach some tiny school somewhere
college.
Where he gets back on the road yeah. to rehabilitation. Anybody who hires him, you just look at it and say, you know what? You attach yeah. yourself to this mess.
But you know how it works, Mike. In the NFL, the players have some power. You're a college coach. You're getting kids in their late teens. They leave you by the time they're in their early 20s. The players keep turning over, so you can rule with an iron fist. You want to do that in the NFL, you have to be Bill Belichick. You have to be Mike
That's
Tomlin.
Right.
You've been doing it for a long time. He hasn't done anything yet, and he made it all about him in the NFL, all professional leagues. You can't make it about you, and he never took any accountability. He looked
never.
Miserable. He never wanted the job. Let's face it. He took it for the money. It was a complete failure, and they were right to do this now as opposed to waiting to the end of the season. And he goes out like the way he came in. You know, you have the interim yeah. coach, Daryl Bevel, saying, He showed up yesterday for practice, left, and left it to the assistant coaches to game plan, never told them, never informed them what was going on. Incredible. All right, we have a significant game in the NFL tonight. The 8-5 Chargers host the 9-4 Chiefs at SoFi. The Chiefs have won six straight, but appeals will be without star pass rusher Chris Jones, who's in protocol, meanwhile, who isn't, as is the Chargers star left tackle Rashawn Slater. The Chargers won the first game between these teams, Mike. Is tonight's game more important for them or the Chiefs?
For the Chargers. I mean, six in a row is about as many as you're going to win, okay? In the NFL now, particularly this year, that's a good run. And it doesn't become, less than a good run if you lose to the Chargers, obviously a division opponent tonight. The Chargers probably need the game more. They are a game behind Kansas City. And Kansas City can start one up. It doesn't really hurt Kansas City. I don't want to hear, oh, there's only one position that gets a bye. Okay, fine. You still got 4 weeks left. This gets like, you know, when people start saying October 1st, well, if they run the table in the SEC, stop. This is big time sports. This is professional sports. Six games is about as long as you get. Maybe you get a seventh. Okay, but these teams aren't, you know, the 2004 Patriots or whatever. I guess it was 2007 Patriots. It's not them. It's not the 85 Bears. So get over it. You know, Kansas City probably can be out of gas. They can fill up and start again next week. But I think San Diego, still San Diego to me. I think they're sort of poised. If they really, really want to have a shot to be in this and make a move in the playoffs, they need to win tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad you said San Diego because chances are I was going to say it. The game obviously means more to the L.A. Chargers. But think about Kansas City. It's almost their rope-a-dope that they pulled. So they go to the Super Bowl two straight years. They're coming off a loss. There's a bit of a hangover. They start out 3-4. Everyone's wondering, well, maybe they've had their run. They rattle off six straight wins, and think about what they've done. It just hasn't been Patrick Mahomes trying to bring them back from 21 points down. They've done it with their defense. Their defense has only given up an average of 11 points per game during this winning streak. And Mahomes, who we know is only going to get better as the season goes on, you know that this year, eight of the 10 worst games that he's had in terms of quarterback rating have been this season. So it hasn't been like the offense is lighting it up. It's actually been the defense. 16 sacks, 16 turnovers during this winning streak.
Chris Jones.
I get it.
No Chris Jones. That's a big deal.
But Michael, they're the kind of team, they're kind of doing what New England is doing. They're getting better at the right time. A lot of people are ready to write them off at 3-4. With that quarterback and now with that defense, that was a big mistake.
But you know what, Frank? If you wind up finishing the season on some 9-1 or 10-1 run, nobody's going to look back at that and say, oh, my God, they just dropped the ball. They were in a deep slump. They can lose tonight.
And what's going to happen if you have to go to Kansas City in the dead of winter and try to win a playoff game there?
That's going to be difficult. Let's move to the NBA, Frank, where Klay Thompson appears close to returning to the court. The Warriors recalled Thompson from their G League affiliate last night. He's missed the last two seasons, of course. Torn ACL followed by a torn Achilles. He reportedly could play as soon as Monday night. Frank, what would your expectations be for Klay Thompson?
Well, you know, training with the G League team, you're hearing reports from the Bay Area that he looks like he hasn't skipped a beat. We know how that is, though. When you walk into an NBA court playing against NBA competition, I think those first couple of games he's going to struggle. We also know that they'll load manage him. He's never going to play in back-to-backs early on. There's no reason to do that. I was thinking about this, though. The last time he played a game, Michael, June 13th of 2019, that horrible night out in Oakland when he blew out his knee. We did the math. I did it with Julia, part of our crack staff. That's 916 days and counting since he last played an NBA game. When Kevin Durant returned last year, it was over 500 games. And Kevin Durant, it took maybe a couple of weeks. You saw the way that he played in the playoffs. You see the way that he's playing now? It's like he never skipped a beat. And he also blew out his Achilles. So Klay Thompson is committed. He loves playing basketball. He defends, which is going to fit in perfectly with Golden State. Early on, he's going to struggle. I think it's going to be a home run for Golden State.
Which one has lasted longer, Klay Thompson on the shelf or Tony in the attic? I wonder.
It's close.
I think Tony, it probably is close. Listen, you don't just come back from that sort of absence and reclaim a Hall of Fame form. According to some ballots like mine, a top 75 all-time.
Thank you.
You don't just walk off the street and get, he's going to get there. Now, I will tell you this, Frank, it's been sort of cool being able to be around the Warriors a couple of different times and be able to have conversations with guys. And they are all, it seems, everything I have heard, they get reports and they see, you know, they see Clay and they've, you know, practiced with him and worked out with him. And these guys are like, and they're hard to please. Come on. You know, guys like Steph and Draymond and Steve Kerr and Andre Iguodala, they're not rolling over for anything. And these guys are like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like they are so impressed yep. with how he's looked in scrimmages and practices and workouts. And that is so good to hear. Look, there's nobody who doesn't like Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's yep. not Kyrie. He's not spreading incense around the gym, nope. having people roll their nope. eyes. Even people who can hate Klay Thompson because they got to play against him, they're saying, you know what? It's great to have Klay Thompson when he gets back. So I know I'm excited as just a viewer, you know, to have Klay Thompson back, but it's going to take a while to regain that form. It's an incredible form.
Yeah.
You don't just walk out and say, give me that form. You yeah. got to work toward it. So I hope people hope their expectations aren't out of control. But I am so excited about next week yeah. to see Klay Thompson back in action. That's so cool.
And, Michael, Kevin Durant has talked about it. He's gained a greater appreciation for his love of the game, which he's always had. Klay Thompson's
yes.
the same way.
Great point.
And being yep. out over 900 days, he's going to recapture that. And what this does also, to me, two-team race right now. I get the Utah Jazz are a good team, but I think it's Phoenix and Golden State. And I can also confirm that Michael worked very hard on his top 75 list. He didn't even spend that much time working on his college essays than he did work filling out that top 75 list. And Klay should have been on it.
By the way, Klay should have been on it. They're saying now, the reports are saying he may not be back till the 28th. They're going to pick the time that's most comfortable. Right? Whether it's the 23rd, I don't think it'll
What's
be Christmas
rush?
Day, but it could be the 28th. I don't know if that's a home game. There should be no rush.
Yep.
He'll get back, and we'll be happy to see him back.
Can't wait.
Let's take a break. But coming up, Devontae Graham hit a memorable game winner last night, but was the game tying shot just as or more impressive?
And Austin Reeves had a huge moment for the Lakers, but was Ricky Rubio's highlight even better?
Ricky Rubio, man.
He's been good.
Cleveland
I'm
is
all over
really
Cleveland.
Good. Really good.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer, part of Happy Hour.
Time for toss-up. We don't need a self-indulgent soliloquy. Two men enter. Frank loses. What's first?
Toss-up. More impressive shot given the circumstance. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Devontae Graham?
Frank, I'm gonna presume not only have you seen this 300 times, but I'm betting you saw it live. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he has to hit this shot to keep his team, okay, Oklahoma City, in the game. That ties the game. But then Devontae Graham hits this. That's insane. Okay, this is being called the longest game-winning shot ever. That's the game tie. And you can't get over it. You think you're going to overtime? And no, you're not going to overtime. I don't believe the factoids being passed around that this is the longest game winning shot ever. This is a league that has no pictures of Wilt Chamberlain in a 100-point game. This is a league that couldn't keep block shots until 1974. Yep. I love professional basketball. I don't believe somebody hasn't thrown it in from 70 feet. Is one more impressive than the other? I'm going to go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
All right.
Because he has to hit that shot to keep the game going. He's got more pressure than just lobbing one at the end to win it.
Well, Jerry West in the NBA Finals against the Knicks had a half-court shot that tied the game. I remember Teresa Weatherspoon of the Liberty hitting a shot to win a game against the Houston Comets. They end up losing the next game. But, all right, so Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that's a great shot. No question about it. But you know this, Michael. This is the way the NBA's changed. Nobody takes that shot at the end of the first, second, or third quarter. Why? They don't want to mess with, their shooting percentage.
We don't see
these shots at the end of games because usually a team has a timeout, they advance the ball to midcourt. So besides the fact that it's the longest shot, game winner in NBA history, you never see half-court shots at the end of games anymore. So you happen to be wrong. It's Devontae Graham.
No, I'm right, because the only way he's taking that shot is that Alexander had
a 3.5% chance of making it. I looked that up on ESPN Stats and Info. I'm going with them.
Yeah,
I'm right.
BXI or whatever it is. What's next?
Toss up, who had the better highlight last night, Austin Reeves or Ricky Rubio?
And we're going to start with Ricky Rubio here because it's a sequence. I mean, there's several things going on. By the way, Frank, how good has Rubio been?
Oh, off the charts.
And Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland's been good for about 20 reasons, but he, you know, gets the turnover here, the great pass. I mean, it's pretty tremendous. But Russell Westbrook and one of the 9 Hall of Famers on the floor for the Lakers, they find a kid nobody's ever heard of. No, it's not Bryant Big Country Reeves. This kid, I don't even know why he's there. I guess he's an undrafted free agent. But he hits a shot. He's on the floor with LeBron, and he's on the floor with Westbrook. And I don't know if Anthony Davis. Seriously, there's 7 Hall of Famers on that team. What the hell's he doing hitting that shot? That's the shot. Well, just the fact that they trusted him to take it.
Well, I like the fact you pointed out really what the highlight is that Russell Westbrook didn't take a bad shot. He actually passed it to the open guy who they call Hillbilly Kobe. I don't know how you feel about that. By the way, the last time the Lakers had a 3-point shot to win a game in the final 5 seconds of overtime happened to be Kobe Bryant. But you're right about Ricky Rubio. First of all, he had a little Akeem with the fake there, then the little fadeaway, then the steal and the pass. Him coming off the bench for Cleveland, and don't forget about Kevin Love. Kevin Love hasn't done anything the past couple of years. He's been great for Cleveland. Cleveland is 18-12. How about the job J.B. Bickerstaff is doing? Evan Mobley has been great. My guy Jared Allen has been terrific. And Darius Garland.
And Kobe Altman as well, putting that team together.
Oh, by the way, one other thing. They're doing this without Colin Sexton. Might not be getting paid by anybody.
They're going to always do without Colin Sexton because he's going to be somewhere else.
Yep.
That team is together. They got their group, man.
That's right.
Not that anything's wrong with Colin Sexton. He'll just be doing it somewhere else when he comes back
from
injury.
New York.
That's it. God, between you and Stephen A. Let's take one last break, but still to come, the Pelicans have a new timeline for Zion.
And we're going to give you the latest update on Lamar Jackson's availability against the Packers. Poor Lamar. Or some injury.
A lot of feet issues.
61-footer, Mike, to win a game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 59th birthday, William the Refrigerator Perry. The biggest player on the field when being more than 300 pounds was a rarity. Fridge was drafted to play defensive tackle on the 85 Bears, the greatest defense in history. But he gained more fame that season as a fullback, lead blocking, carrying the ball for touchdowns, even catching it for one. Fridge tried to throw for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, but was tackled for a loss. He later steamrolled his way into the end zone for a touchdown. Perry was also part of the 1981 Clemson National Championship team. Fridge has been struggling with his health in recent years, and we want to take the time right now to wish him all the best.
I remember seeing him play in college. He had the cutoff shirt. He was so intimidating looking. Can you remember the picture in Sports Illustrated with him standing next to the refrigerator? And can you imagine
yes,
how much money he would make if they had a name, image, and likeness back then? He was big.
Yeah, he once said in an interview he used to eat his cereal from a mixing bowl. I mean, goodness. A not-so-happy anniversary to the Knicks and Nuggets. On this day 15 years ago, the Knicks and head coach Isaiah Thomas took offense to Nuggets coach George Karl keeping his starters on the court late while up 19. Marty Collins delivered a hard foul on J.R. Smith as he went to dunk on a breakaway. Mayhem ensued in Madison Square Garden, resulting in the last real brawl we've seen in the NBA. 10 players were ejected, 7 suspended for a total of 47 games. Wow. Carmelo Anthony was playing for Denver at the time, got 15 games for swinging at Collins. He recently described the fight to $1 million worth of game, saying, quote, Isaiah has beef with George Karl. I don't know what the bleeping beef is, but they got beef. I didn't even know that, Frank.
Oh, they had beef, and you know who was at the center of it? Larry Brown. It had a lot to do with Larry Brown's departure.
Wow.
By the way, at that game, I was seated right next to Big Earl, J.R. Smith's dad, the entire time, just sat there stone faced. Never even moved.
Made him look
even more intimidating, but he's a sweet guy.
He is a sweet guy. Happy trails to Zion Williamson playing anytime soon. The Pelicans announced today that their star forward received what they called a biologic injection into the fracture site of his right foot to promote bone healing. Williamson will be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. Zion was supposed to go through his first full practice on December the 2nd, but began experiencing soreness. He had originally expected to be back by opening night after injuring the foot over the summer. Williamson averaged 27 points per game for New Orleans last season and will soon be eligible for an extension of his rookie deal. Frank, what do the Pelicans do now?
That's a tough one if you're going to pay him. By the way, in summation, he's not going to play this season. They're just not going to tell you
it
that in the release.
Sound like
because
it.
They said he was going to be ready by opening like night. It. He is not playing this season. Not going to play.
That's awful, man. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Lamar Jackson did not practice today and reportedly faces an uphill battle to play against the Packers. That's a big deal, isn't it?
You know what? I'm going to give him one more week. I'm going to sit him out. I get it. But that division is so tight. I'm going to get him rested for the stretch run. The Sacramento Kings canceled practice and shut down their facility in fear of a COVID outbreak. Your thoughts?
This is all over sports, all over universities, all over workplaces. Friday night versus Memphis in jeopardy for right now.
Yeah.
Memphis, you don't want to play anyway. My goodness. Quarterback Miles Brennan withdrew from the transfer portal, is going to stay at LSU. Is that significant?
That's a huge win for Brian Kelly. You're keeping everything in the family, Mike, in the family. Anthony Edwards hit 10 threes in a win over the Nuggets.
Wow.
Are you impressed?
Can you say most improved player? Plays the Lakers tomorrow, who's going to be without Russell Westbrook, who's now in COVID protocol. Last one, tomorrow, noon, the Bahamas Bowl, Middle Tennessee State and Toledo. Who you got?
Well, I got Toledo. They're favored by 10, but let's remember, if you're going to the Bahamas for a bowl game, you both have won. That's where you want to be
for
a bowl game. Either one of the big games or go to the Bahamas before Christmas.
That's
a nice little trip.
You can recruit off the
100%.
Bahamas Bowl, baby.
I'm actually
you can
covering
make
the game.
Work or the transfer portal.
I'm covering the game for ESPN. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now before Sports Center, shout out to Richard Light, who turns 40 today.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, make D-Light get you something real nice. Open up that wallet, my man. Here's Sports Center.